Welcome to Everyday Christianity, where we explore how the principles of Christianity impact our everyday lives. Join us as we delve into the timeless wisdom of the Bible, applying its principles to build stronger relationships, find purpose in our careers, nurture thriving families, and deepen our connection with God.
Hey, welcome back to Everyday Christianity. I'm Steve Wood. I'm the lead pastor at Mount Pisgah Methodist Church. We're excited about today. I've got Ray and Dwayne and Joel hanging out as we really want to work hard to help deliver things that are spirit-inspired, God-led, but that are also practically applicable to your life. You know, over the course of years, I've heard a lot of responses when I've asked people, well, how are you really doing? I mean, they have all kinds of interesting answers. The Dave Ramsey approach, better than I deserve. I have a friend that's a part of the African Methodist Episcopal Zion denomination. And when I call and talk to him, I ask him, how you doing? He says, man, I am blessed and highly favored. It's really interesting the kind of taglines and quick diagnosis we'll give. But when you ask someone a deeper question, a more pointed question about, so tell me, how are you doing in holiness of heart and life? It's like throwing a bucket of ice water on the room. Yeah. Nobody asks that question. And number two, nobody's prepared to answer that question, but the scripture points us to a holiness that accompanies a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not something we manufacture. It's not a self-righteousness. It is something that God grows within us by removing the dross. That's biblical. But also, as we cooperate with God, that the very spirit of the risen Christ becomes Lord of more and more of our life and our thoughts and our behavior and our planning and so on and so forth. So today we want to give you some practical advice and tips on how to live out Philippians 4:8, especially as it pertains to this call to holiness. And Ray's got that verse, and he's going to read the Amplified version for us.
Thank you, Pastor. I looked up holy and holiness in the dictionary, and holy, here's some adjectives for holy: sacred, consecrated, hallowed, sanctified, revered, blessed, dedicated. And holiness was defined as a life of devotion to God. So we've got several scriptures we may touch on in this podcast, but I thought Philippians 4:8 would be very helpful.
Can I just interrupt you?
Yeah, sure.
And I'd really like to confess right now, of that list, sacred, consecrated, hallowed, sanctified, revered, blessed, dedicated, those are adjectives that I don't ever remember hearing someone use to describe me.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, let me just confess that. And so, this is a subject we're approaching that's not often talked about, but just keep rolling.
No, this is good because, again, this is a challenging topic we're going to be discussing. Philippians 4:8, and let me just read out of the Amplified version. I'm not a Greek scholar, but the Amplified is probably as close as you can get to from a English translation to the Greek translation. But it says, Philippians 4:8, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think continually on these things, parentheses, center your mind on them and implant them in your heart, end parentheses. So this is probably a good jump start as far as holiness. It's got to be imparted to us through the Holy Spirit. We can't manufacture these things. But the challenge is to live it out. You know, some of the questions I think about is, what does a life of holiness look like? How can we practice holiness on a daily basis? What are the obstacles to living out a holy life? This is the everyday challenge as a Christian. And it's like we've always said, we may be the only Bible that somebody reads. You know, what version are they reading? And so are they seeing noble things out of us, as the scripture says? Are they seeing honorable, worthy, respectful things? Are they seeing purity and wholesome and loveliness and peace? And like you said, Pastor, this is a challenge. This is real life, and we're human, and our human flesh gets in the way a lot of times,
yeah.
But God wants to live his life through us and his attributes through us, and we're the ones that block that passageway. And so, Dwayne, you might have some thoughts on this.
Yeah, I do, but there's three things that I think of immediately. The first is Peter and Jesus. When Jesus asked him, "Who do you say I am?" And he said, "You're the Son of God, the Christ."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "God told you that."
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately he tells him later on that, "Satan, get behind me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here's the guy who Jesus says, "God told you that," and then you're of Satan. Mm-hmm. So the next part is, I remember that no one is good except God.
Right.
Jesus tells the rich young ruler that. No
mm-hmm.
one is good except God.
Mm-hmm.
"Why do you call me good? No one is good except God."
Mm-hmm.
And so then the third thought is, Jesus told us that it's not what goes into your mouth and passes through
Uh-oh.
You that defiles
Uh-oh.
You.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. It's what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah,
good point.
And so now I start thinking, okay, I go back to practical of what we did with our children when they were younger is, do not say anything unless it is encouraging, uplifting, and it just makes you stop. If you listen, they weren't perfect at it. I'm not perfect at it. I'm just telling you that if that's your mindset, though, then you begin to start thinking, okay, it's God living in me. God, make my heart so that the things that come out of my mouth are what you want,
right,
and not what I want to say. And there are times where I get my buttons pushed and the things that come out of my mouth aren't what has not anything to do with God. Does that mean that I'm not a believer? No, that doesn't mean I'm not a believer. It's just I'm gravitating more to the flesh at that point in time, as opposed to allowing the Holy Spirit to live in me and to control what comes out of my mouth. And I'm much better when I allow the Holy Spirit to speak as opposed to my flesh.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so, Dwayne, I think that's a beautiful illustration of the practical and behavioral nature of holiness at work in this life.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to have the input from God through the power of the Holy Spirit to change the output. Without God, I can't even hardly suppress the output or even moderate it. It's just fully human, fully depraved, fully fallen. But with God's presence doing his redeeming work in us, the work of imparted holiness, remember that's not achieved, then we begin to see evidences of that in terms of how we actually live our life. And one of the most obvious is the one you just mentioned, is how we treat one another.
Mm.
That is so indicative of what's really going on in us. I mean, you know, we don't have to escalate hurtful outputs from other people. You know, and give them an even more hurtful output in response, so to speak. We can choose through the power of the Holy Spirit to respond in a way that brings peace and healing and actually diffuses contention. I wish I'd have known that about 60 years ago.
It was fun. I just laughed to myself. Vicky, my wife, was driving one of our grandkids. This was several years ago. And I think her granddaughter was maybe 6 years old. And someone pulled in front of Vicky and almost hit her. And she beeped the horn. And Vicky blurted out, "You idiot." And our little granddaughter goes, "Grammy, that's a strong word. We don't say strong words in our family." She was rebuked by her granddaughter. But I mean, just, yeah, I laugh because that's a natural reaction. But again, you know, life of holiness is being able to somehow bottle up that frustration or bottle up that anxiety or whatever it is and not pour it out, whether it be verbally or physically or emotionally or whatever. Because again, it's got to be Holy Spirit controlled. You know, we've talked about the Holy Spirit multiple times because he's the engine that runs the car. That really drives the whole engine. He's the engine that drives the whole vehicle. And so he dwells within us, and we know the fruits of the Spirit. What? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, I think these attributes flow out of us of purity and wholesome and peace and admirability and excellence. Again, like we said, we can't manufacture, but we can display it. We can display it if we allow him to have control. It's like when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. What? The first thing he said is, I must decrease and he must increase. And that's really should be our daily prayer of we need to decrease and let him increase. So these attributes in his Philippians 4:8 become real in our lives and we don't try to make it work. It's a way of life that we become accustomed to and we practice.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that either this past weekend or the weekend before, where we need to allow Christ to live in us and to make us into his image. And we do that by spending time in his word, by prayer, through fellowship. And I'm also reminded in Romans 12, where it tells us how to overcome evil. We overcome evil with good. Well, we've already talked about the fact that how does good flow out of us? Good flows out of us when we allow the Holy Spirit to, and Christ to live in and through us. And so it is a difficult thing to do in the heat of the moment. Depends on your temperament and personality. But for me, it's extremely difficult in the middle of a conflict, concentration, to stop and remember that, you know, I'm commanded to overcome evil with good.
Yeah.
And there's been some times where I've actually seen this put into play, and it is amazing. It is amazing when you try to overcome evil with good and you just more of what God's word says. Pour that out, pour it out to let people hear it, to understand it. It can have a tremendous impact. I'll never forget, it was some contentious thing, and I was talking with a reporter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution who was very much on the other side of the equation from where I was coming from a biblical standpoint, and they were coming from a worldly cultural standpoint. But the longer we spoke and the more time that we communicated, and I kept bringing scripture to bear, and you know, kind of like the Dale Carnegie, How to Win Win Friends and Influence People, right. You just get those scriptural concepts out there in an everyday language, and it just diffuses things, and people start, okay, I understand. I see where you're coming from. I understand. I think that's something that I have to, guys, I have to put it in my brain every day. I have to pick up my cross daily, die to myself, because my pride, we've done things on pride, my pride doesn't want me to do that. But outside of that, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us and overcome evil with good.
That's a good word, Dwayne. Hey, as we wrap it up today, we want to give you something practical to take with you as we leave today and as we anticipate the next podcast. We want you to think for it. Get this verse, get it down, put it before you, review it 3 or 4 times a day, commit it to memory. Think about these things, God says. Think about what's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And I guarantee you, your focus will change, and so will the output, because that invites the work of the Holy Spirit deeper into the recesses of our mind and heart. Hey, if we can come alongside, you can reach us at Everyday Christianity. That's at mountpisgah.org. And until we meet again, God bless you and be encouraged in your journey. Think 4-8.
If you found value in today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast with your friends and family. For any questions or feedback, feel free to reach out to us at everydaychristianity@mountpisgah.org. And you can find all the relevant links in the show notes. Until next time, God bless.